Well, you can take your Bibles, please. And we're going to take a look at a little bit of God's qualities. Now, I looked around for his unqualities, and there is none. So, just so you know, God only has great qualities. And we're going to look at, the way we're going to do it is to look at a wonderful chapter in Matthew eventually, but before we go there, we're going to stop in John 1:18. And we're going to go to various other places too, but basically what I'm trying to say is keep your, when we get to Matthew, keep your finger there.
Gospel of John or the other John?
I don't know, pick one. Gospel, how about the gospel? Chapter 1, and in verse 18, it says, Norman hath seen God.
No
man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And that's what Jesus Christ came. That word declared means to make known, to unfold the wonderful things of his Heavenly Father. And we're going to see a little bit about that today. If you go to John chapter 6, a couple of chapters over, a few chapters. In verse 38, it says, For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Who sent him? God. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one of you which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have, what? Everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. So one of the great qualities of God is that he gave us everlasting, eternal life so that we can be for him, with him forever. Now let's take a quick stop here in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. And this everlasting life, this is a reminder for us here in chapter 4, verse 16. It says, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, and that so shall we ever means at all times. We're going to always be with him without any of this junk and crap that we have to go through today. Forever. And in verse 18, it says, Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So it's a way we can comfort each other to remind each other that this ain't it. This ain't all of it right here. You know, we have, God has bigger and better plans for us. It's great now with God, but it's even going to be greater when we're together with him forever. Now, you can go to Matthew chapter 14. And that reminding of the hope is comfort at its finest. You can't get any more comfort than that, knowing that we're going to heaven. All hell ain't stopping us. We're going. So anyway, we're going to start in verse 1 of Matthew 14. It says, At that time, Herod the Tetrarch, the head dude, Herod, heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servant, This is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. He wasn't right about that, but for Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John confronted him on something, said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias, am I saying that right? Mm-hmm. Herodias? Mm-hmm. Danced before them and pleased Herod. She must have been some dancer. Mm-hmm. Wherefore he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed by her mother, Cruella de Vil, said, "Give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger." So that's not a good thing. That's not a wonderful thing that was going to happen. And the king was sorry, verse 9. Nevertheless, for the old sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. So, not a good thing. And he, in verse 11, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. Now this is Jesus' cousin, right? It's his cousin. So I'm sure he had some very careful, wonderful feelings towards his cousin, because his cousin was moving God's word too. When Jesus heard of it, verse 13, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. So I'm sure he wanted to get alone and just be comforted by his father and take some time to really think about it and heal up. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And what did he do? He healed their sick. Even in the midst of being sorrowful with this really horrible thing that happened to someone that he loved and cared about, Jesus Christ was still able to go and, you know, he showed great compassion on the people that wanted to hear. And he did it. He healed their sick. He kept moving. You know, God's promises, God's abilities to work in him didn't fail because something bad happened. He just kept going with it. And if you turn to Exodus, keep your finger here though. Turn to Exodus chapter 15. If you can't find Exodus, just grab one of Lori's things. God's promises and God's quality, his ability to perform, didn't take a back seat or didn't take a break when something bad happened. He still worked in his son, and his son healed people. Did I see 15? Mm-hmm. Exodus 15 and in verse 23 to 26, it says, well, let's read 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So that's not good. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And guess what Marah means?
Bitter.
How handy, right? So look what God did. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And they just, you know, basically saw the Red Sea part, just to give you a little heads up there. So something that probably would never happen unless God did it. What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." So Jesus Christ knew that, and he knew, you know, he could continue to heal people. That was a wonderful quality that God gave him. That word healeth, well, we all know this, but It means to cure, to mend, and to make whole. You can't get any more cured or healed than that, than what God can do. So let's go back to Matthew 14, and we'll pick it up in verse 15. And this is basically all in one, not even the whole chapter, all these great things that Jesus Christ could do because he looked to God and knew God wanted him to do it. In Matthew 14, pick it up in 15, after he heals the sick, it says, and when it was evening, his disciples came unto him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals," or victuals, if you're a Beverly Hillbilly fan, victuals. "But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they said, what are you talking about? And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We've all heard this record, and it doesn't change. The same thing happens time and time again. He said, bring them hither to me. I know what God can do. And we're going to see it happen. And, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up into heaven, and that's a great key, looking up into heaven, looking to God for what he needed. He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. So if you do the math, it's a lot more than 5,000. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So is there any limits with what God can do in his abilities and his qualities that he wants us to have? There's no limit. There's definitely no limit. If you go to, keep your finger here, Genesis chapter 22. This is just a quick one here. It's the record of Abraham. It says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked.
What verse?
Oh, so, sorry, 13. And looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it said, to this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And that Jehovah Jireh, anybody know? The Lord will provide. And the greatest, so another little definition of it is the Lord, Jehovah will see to it. I love that. He will see to it. Anything we need in our lives according to his word, he will see to it if we go to him or as we go to him. That's a pretty wonderful God. In Matthew 14, again, we'll pick this up in verse 23. Bet you guys guessed that. And let's see, 23 to 33, it says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, after they were fed with the 5 loaves, right, and the fishes, 5,000 plus, pretty awesome thing to see. Set the multitude away, he went up to the mountain apart to pray. So finally he's going to be able to pray and get quiet and, you know, talk to his father. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. It was boisterous. It was against. It was antagonistic. It was a really horrible wind. And if you've ever been out on the sea, it's not a fun thing. You put a lot of chum out for fishing sometimes when the ocean is like going nuts like that. So verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the water. And that's normal, right? Not really, but it is normal if you believe God and you trust God. So he went walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." So don't be afraid. This is a normal thing that you can do, that if you keep looking to God, keep looking to your Father. Then Peter got involved here and answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. And that's a great thing, right? You got Jesus walking on the water. You got Peter walking on the water. Now you can say, why didn't he just calm the sea to begin with and just have the boat come in? But he had a God that was like, "Yeah, we can do better than that." So he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he got distracted, boisterous. He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." So that was a great example to them that God was working in this guy, and he was showing forth God's qualities, his power, his love for his people. And you can go to, well, I wanted to stress too, it was great that, you know, they all walked on the water, these guys. But another wonderful thing is that the wind just ceased somehow, you know. Who has the power to do that? God. God has the power. And let's go to, oh, just a quick one too, Exodus 17. Another Jehovah we got to throw in here. 17. And verse 15 it says, "And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi." Who knows what that one means? The banner. My banner. And the banner is a symbol of a canopy that your God's protection over his people. So we have that too. If you go to Psalm 40, again, keep your finger there in Matthew, but go to Psalm 40. Verse 1. Oh, this is wonderful. He says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." And who knows what waited patiently means? Anyone? Actually, it means to expect. He waited patiently, but wait patiently means to expect. So he expected God to do something wonderful. "For the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." And I love that word inclined, because it means like he's listening, he wants to hear what we have to say, and he wants to take care of it. "And he brought me up also out of the horrible pit." Who's ever been in a horrible pit? I haven't been, but I'm sure it's not good. "He brought him out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." So the miry clay is not fun either. Miry clay could be really nasty clay, or it could be like a quicksand. And if you're in quicksand, unless you have someone to help you, you're not getting out of that. And you're a goner. Goner? Goner? You're done. You're finished. But he waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto him and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, not only that, but out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And that rock is a stronghold. And we couldn't never get a stronger hold than our Father. And then verse 3, it says, "And have put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." So when you see God's goodness, you see His strength, you see that He's a stronghold for us, it's a great thing, you know. It causes us to keep trusting in Him. And that's a wonderful thing. Go back to Matthew. Oh, you see, I took my finger out. Sorry. Matthew 14. Finish up with the rest of this chapter here. In verse 34. "And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret." Sounds good. "And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." And this is all after he got the really crappy news about John the Baptist. He kept going. He kept going to God, looking to God, and doing some wonderful things. That perfectly whole means saved, thoroughly cured, which was the will of his Father. And that's his will for all of us. You don't have to keep your finger there. We're done in there. But if you go to Psalm 103, and we're going to start in verse 1 and read a few verses. Well, more than a few, but it says, in verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So we can't remember and all, but don't forget the ones you know for sure, and try to learn some more. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Like that banner. He just cover us and takes care of us. That word crowneth is pretty awesome. Means it encircles us for either attack or protection. So he's got us covered. And not only that, "with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies thy mouth with good things." And that word satisfies means fills, that we have plenty. We always have plenty with our God. "So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath now not dealt with us after our sins." Oh, Dennis popped on. "Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." So that's a good thing too. He doesn't hold our sins against us, but he gets rid of them. He demolishes them. "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear or respect him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." So, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. I lost it. You know, there it is. "He remembereth that we are dust." He knows we're fragile. "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear, respect him, and his righteousness unto his children's children." So we have that going for us, you know. It's never going to end. And if you go to Psalm 23, which is a delightful psalm. Psalm 23, and in verse 1 it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." There's peace there with God. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Any miry pit or miry clay and disastrous pit, he's there. I will not fear. "For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Always full and to capacity and overflowing with God. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So, those are some wonderful qualities and great things that our God has given us, and he's given us the greatest example of his son. And that was just one little chapter, and there's many, many more. All right? Amen?